This is CliffCentral.com.
Slightly embarrassing delay on the pressing of buttons to start the morning. Well, you know, I'm not perfect. I never have claimed to be. Ridiculous. Good morning, everybody. What's happening?
No one noticed.
No one noticed. What? There was nothing
the
to notice.
The little delay. Yeah. Not going to talk about morning. It.
I'm kind of annoyed with myself. I made a cup of lukewarm tea.
That's not a good start.
No, you want your tea to be hot. You know, and it was because the urn hadn't boiled yet, and I thought, let me just go ahead and make it anyway. And it's like kind of...
It's like piss.
Oh. Well... And now you've made it even worse by saying it's like piss, but yeah, it's sort of the same sort of tepid temperature.
Yeah. I'm no expert in pee temperature, so I wouldn't know.
Well, what's your body temperature?
Oh, wait.
Come on. Let's do it.
Water boils at 100.
So yes. It's nowhere near that.
Yes. No, it's nowhere near 100, otherwise we would be... Dead.
That's right. Isn't it 30-something?
I feel like is the million-dollar question on a game show. Wait.
32.
It is. All right. It's the million-dollar question.
28.
And you have a chance to win, Sia. Come on. Let's see if you can do this. Go on. Let's do this. Everybody, join in if you are at home. What is the temperature of the healthy human body?
Don't say 21 degrees.
20.
That's room temperature.
No.
Oh, my gosh. I just saw how much it is.
Yeah.
28 degrees Celsius.
Oh my god.
What is it?
We won't tell you, Sia.
So you wouldn't know
Wait.
if you were sick, in other words.
When you have a fever.
Yeah.
When you
means?
Have a fever, it is double your temperature.
Double.
Which is 45 degrees. You have a fever.
You'd be dead if you were double the body temperature. No, a normal human being has a temperature between 36.5 and 37.5 degrees Celsius.
Exactly. Really?
It's within that 1 degree of range, yes. Anything higher than that is called a fever. And hypothermia is anything less than 35. Yeah, hypothermia. Dun-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Whoa.
Yes.
But how does hypothermia become less than 35? Aren't you freezing when you've got hypothermia?
That's the point. So... You feel like you're freezing, but actually your body temperature is just below 35 degrees. Somewhere below 35. I mean, it could be like 15, in which case you'd be perilous. Could be 5 or 10, I suppose. But essentially anything around 36.5 to 37.5 doctors regard as normal. There's a question to start your morning.
Hmm.
So yes, my tea is warmer than that.
But and still not ideal.
What makes us different to reptiles is that we can regulate our body temperature, and our body temperature is maintained in that perfect range. It's also why we don't need to go and bake in the sun for hours like a reptile would, or that we don't have to hibernate like some animals do.
Mm-hmm.
Although it's really only mammals that hibernate. There are some creatures that go and sleep for a whole season, and they aren't mammals. But I don't think you call it hibernation. I'm not entirely sure. Anyway, there's a useful bit of info for the morning.
Wow.
Yes, and some little animals like mice in the desert,
yes,
which surprisingly reaches very cold temperatures at night.
Definitely.
Go into a state of something, I can't remember the name of it, where they look dead. They appear dead. You can pick them up, throw them around, and they've just gone into
throw them around, yeah.
They've gone into this state.
They won't wake up.
To preserve themselves. And you heat them up slowly and they wake up perfectly.
Yeah. That sounds like me. that sounds like me. I need to be warmed up in
what
the
are
morning.
The best ways to take human temperature?
In the ass.
In the ass.
In the ass.
The ass is a very good... In the rectum or in the mouth or under the arm?
No, they've got much better ways with that little laser thing. That
still have to go up the ass.
You can also check in the ear, in the nose, in the vagina... In the bladder or on the skin of the forehead over the temporal artery.
Over here? Mm-hmm. Oh.
Well, in hospitals now, they just point a thing at you.
Yeah. I mean, I've got this thing at home that I use in my laboratory. which is, it's got a laser and you point it at like the pool. Yes. And it will tell you what the temperature of the water in the pool is. You point it at a fire, it'll tell you what the temperature of the coals are.
What does it read?
It bounces, that laser hits there, and it depending on the, I suppose, the speed of the return of the laser, or whether or not it's affected adversely or proactively by temperature, it will then be able to ascertain what the temperature of the thing that it strikes is. Because lasers are tremendously accurate, and they usually... bounce right back over a reflective surface, and almost instantly so. So anything that takes a little bit longer, it's obviously because it's not a smooth or reflective surface, but also there are temperature indicators. That's what I understand anyway. Huh. If you have a better explanation, I'm more than happy to hear it. So someone did get it right. Let's give credit where it's due. A couple of people already, way faster than us and far more awake this morning. So first of all, Sarah... And second of all, Inati. Let's give them a round of applause.
Woohoo! Wawina, 1 million or however we had on the cards.
Yeah, has anyone come forward for that money yet?
Which one?
The lotto money that hasn't been claimed. That you've got
the tickets that we thought was definitely in the trash somewhere.
I'm not sure, but there was a big winner yesterday. Two winners yesterday and a big winner the day before.
How much do they win?
I don't know.
I don't want to look. I don't know.
It's like reading a magazine with thin ladies in it.
It's 50 or 60 million or something.
Oh, actually, yes, someone has come forward.
Oh.
23 million rands.
That's a nice payday, huh? Isn't that a nice payday?
Ooh.
Apparently, Chris Hemsworth and Miley Cyrus have broken up.
Yes.
So he's up for grabs again, Leanne. That's very good news.
Thank goodness.
I know you're very excited about that.
He told me he would call me next. But Miley's already been climbing into some guy's ex-wife as well.
She's now into girls. Yeah. Anyway.
They were only married for a year.
But they were together for longer.
Quickly, there's something interesting that someone wants to update us on from yesterday. Remember that DNA story about the kid who found out that her father wasn't really her biological father?
20 years ago, because they underwent IVF.
Right. Well, we got an update from Natalie, who said, actually, the sperm is from the doctor at the IVF clinic.
No.
Yes. Well, listen here.
Yes, we know exactly what happened, Gugu. You know what? That's fairly obvious.
Something I would have done.
You would have? You would go to jail for that. You know
she
that.
She was fine.
Yeah, but you would go to jail.
Okay, well,
do you understand?
I don't want to go to jail, so okay, I probably wouldn't do it.
Think that again, and we'll just edit it out of the podcast so that nobody comes forward and sends you to jail.
Are you saying that they had sex or that he used his sperm?
He would have put his sperm in there to
Why?
See. Because
what?
He obviously, maybe he fancied her. You know, there's some sick individuals. I was listening to a really interesting podcast, because I don't know if you've noticed, but it really bothers me that these shootings have been happening in America. And not politically. I mean, ideology is poisonous on all sides, but I'm genuinely interested in why young men in particular, because it's always, you don't hear about a young woman who goes up and shoots up a school or a Walmart. Or it doesn't happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm perhaps being ignorant in the light of Google being available to me, but I haven't immediately got recall of an incident where a woman did something like that. So I looked at this, and I found a really interesting article by Sam Harris, who I think is really, he's one of the he's absolutely in among living people one of the foremost intellects that we have. And there are things about Sam Harris's philosophy that I do and don't agree with, and that's great. Because if you ever hear me saying I agree with you completely about everything, one of us needs to be put down. Because then there's one human being that's really just a carbon copy of the other, and there's no point in those two people having any interaction at all. Certainly, we don't have to be killed, but we don't need to engage with each other ever again. So when someone says they agree with you completely, just take it as a deep insult. It's not a compliment. Because that means they either haven't thought about what you're saying properly, so they could find reasons to disagree and have a conversation, or they've just copied and pasted your ideas, or you've copied and pasted theirs, which is bad either way. So Sam Harris and I don't see eye to eye on everything, and I've actually been in email communication with him once or twice over the last year or two to try and set up an interview, and we're still looking at doing that because he's got a very interesting model too in podcasting. He makes people subscribe so that he doesn't have to rely on advertising.
Mm.
And, you know, I never want to get to the point, and I don't think we have, where we're doing so much advertised and paid for content that you can't hear the stuff that you want to hear.
No, it's definitely not like that.
But I think in his case, he doesn't want any advertising because he doesn't want to be tied to what sponsors expect of him. And that can be a very arduous place to be. I mean, I can speak with some experience. We've had terrific sponsors of some of the stuff we've produced, but they can be difficult. Anyway, so Sam Harris is talking about the shooters and what bothers him. And this is a 2013 article. And he lays out the case. There are four kinds, and perhaps even a fifth, but there are four kinds of shooter. And I'm pulling this out of memory, and, mm-hmm. and it was like a week and a half ago, so this may not be as fresh and as clear as it should be, in which case I would advise you to go and read his article.
Mm.
First kind is someone who's mentally ill. There's just no rational thinking involved. They believe that aliens are talking to them. They think that the government is conspiring against them. It's mental illness, you know?
Mainly schizophrenia.
Probably, yes. Then you get malevolence. In other words, people who are psychotic, not just psychologically in trouble, but psychotic. They want to do damage. They are mean. They want to go out and cause as much trouble as possible. And those people are not necessarily irrational. They believe that there is an imminent danger, or that they need to preempt something.
Or that they have like an important role.
Yes. And there's sometimes narcissism and all that stuff involved too, but it's by no means mental illness. It's psychotic. It is, I need to do damage to the world. And those people will go out sometimes for no good reason other than they woke up and they had a bad day, right? So that's the second kind. Third kind you get is ideological. And this could be religious, political, for whatever reason. I mean, it could be an ideology of jihad, for example, that makes you fly a plane into a building. This is not unexpected. We've dealt with this in history. So we know that this happens. And certainly it happens in a lot of religions, but not all. So there's ideological, and it can also be political. As I said earlier, you could be someone who supports a political candidate with a fanaticism, whatever the case may be in terms of ideology. It might be that you think that capitalism is evil and you go and kill the boss of the World Bank. Mm. So it's ideological. To you, it's perfectly rational,
though. Yeah.
And then the fourth one is a little more complicated. It's almost like shit posting on social media. You almost do it for attention. You know, the people who are looking for a reason to get interest from other people.
Mm, probably the most feeble of all the options.
Yeah. And then, of course, there is potentially a fifth option, which is that a perfectly rational, perfectly sensible, good person is persuaded by circumstance and perhaps survival to shoot. I mean, we've got to include all the possible reasons. So let's say, for example, someone breaks into Leanne's house and she's trying to defend herself, and she ends up like shooting five people who've come to visit her because she didn't know they were coming to visit her.
Every Sunday, really.
Sure, yeah, that's what happens.
Oh, but you could also be under duress. For instance, if somebody in your family is being threatened, or
well, yes, I mean those could probably be included in the last one,
yeah,
because you're a good person who's being forced to extremes.
Yeah,
sometimes this happens with people in armies. You know, get back from the front, and there's post traumatic stress disorder, or there's something else that's going on that kind of makes them feel they have no alternative but to act, even though they know consciously, and in terms of their conscience, that they shouldn't do it, and they have to do it because maybe they're being forced, their hand's being forced or something. You're like a James Bond villain is holding a gun to your girlfriend's head, and
mm-hmm.
he says, you've got to kill all these people or I'll kill her, and, you know, these are standard tropes in movies. So these are the reasons, and not that helps you, because we'll never
deal with it easy.
Like, you're never going to get an explanation from the first two kinds, the mentally ill, because they don't know that they're crazy.
Mm.
They don't. There's no concept of the fact that they've gone beyond the line of rationality. The psychotic person doesn't care, and they're not going to give you any good explanation. the shit poster will sometimes post some stuff online, maybe justifying their cruelty and their reaction to things, or their proaction to things. And then there's the ideological kind who will always cite, you know, some holy book or some politician that they love or some philosophy or some idea that they've glommed onto. So these are the things that I'm interested in at the moment. I don't know if you're interested in them too, but it really does. It's starting to become something that I'm a little bit too interested in terms of, like, it bothers me that I don't have explanations for these things. I would never, and I suppose we'd all say this in our best mind, right? Never go in somewhere and kill strangers. Like, I could probably, if I was pushed, I could kill in self-defense. But I don't know that I could ever do it in any other way. Like, I'm not sure I could do it.
I think something that's closer to home for most of the population would be either self-defense and, sadly enough, anger.
Yeah.
Anger, you know, that flash of anger.
Seeing red and you just act.
That's that amygdala response. I remember we spoke to Dr. D about that during the Oscar Pistorius trial, which clearly was, you know, a great example of that. Anyway, I'd throw that in there because, you know, we've been discussing the news and maybe not your favorite thing to wake up to.
Yeah, true. That's one of our biggest annoyances right now, is that we can't explain this. We're trying to make sense of what is happening and we really cannot. Because a lot of us just can't understand how we could ever be in a position like that. Mm-hmm. I'll never forget, for me, one of the images that still is etched in my mind is of the shooter in Oslo, Norway. And I remember watching a documentary about him and how he planned this whole entire thing. In Oslo, being a small town, he spent months mapping out how he was going to shoot and kill what ended up being 70 plus people. And he had planned to set off this bomb in the middle of the town to make sure that all of the authorities would go straight to the town center, leaving everyone on this little island that he ended up going to attack alone.
Yes, that's right. Mm. That's that Norwegian dude. Yeah.
Yeah, he ended up blocking off the ferries so that he was the only one to go to that island. And so everyone on that island could not escape. And one of the people who survived ended up explaining how there was nothing else that they could do except hear shot after shot and hear his footsteps go closer, and how there was this look in the killer's eyes of almost just being on a mission of, I have to do this, I'm doing this, and not thinking about anything else. For most of us, like, how?
And to plan it and plot it and think about it so much, it's just unreal.
Yikes.
Anyway, a couple of things that are going on that are getting very hot attention on the internet at the moment, even though that's not the real world. The NHI, the National Health Insurance. People are really concerned. I saw Richard Spoor, who's one of the people who I actually do follow and subscribe to on the internet, saying that the new NHI bill is quite dangerous in a number of respects. But one of them that you may not have realized is that it is going to... it's going to exclude the Competition Act, which will mean that it will end all medical competition for drugs and everything else. That means the state will henceforth determine the quality of all medical goods and services as well as the price. Now, that is a
I'm hesitant.
Terrible, terrible idea. So I know we're sitting here with this thing, and it's going to be popular among poor people and people who have nothing because they've got nothing. So you'd rather have something than nothing.
Yeah.
Right. And there's this promise that government will roll out health insurance for everybody. But I do want to reiterate, and I think we've got to be clear, and this message has to be told loudly and proudly to everyone who will hear it, because there's some people who won't listen to it. But if this NHI goes through, it will be administered just like all the parastatals, i.e. badly, and there will be deaths. And because this is about medicine, there will be more deaths. This would be, I think that it is not too much to say that the NHI bill would be a step towards, I had to choose these words carefully, it would almost be genocidal. Judging by the way that our government runs. And we know that the one thing that ANC politicians value above all else is their own wallet. Well, their own wallet.
Oh, yeah.
You can see it at the State Capture Commission. There are people who were paid, people who made sure they were paid, didn't care about the consequences for ordinary folks, right, that voted them in. So we know that the ANC cares about money. But they don't care about money enough to understand money, and they still manage the country into the ground. So even the things they care about, when they tell you they really care about money and they show it through their actions, that still doesn't mean that they're competent with money.
Yeah.
Know what I mean? So here we have the NHI bill, which effectively will force everybody to go into a national health insurance rather than their own private health care insurers, mm-hmm. which are costly, sure, but I don't trust the government to look after me if I'm sick. Mm. And if you've ever been to a state hospital, I defy you to tell me that it's great. Please, I would love to hear the argument for it, because at the moment they have control of state hospitals and the state medical infrastructure is enormous and it's badly run. Badly run to the point where people are dying, right?
Yeah. It's not to say there's not talent in
no, sure. Mm-mm.
It's, you know, it comes down to the system, the administration, the nursing, the care, the paying, the payment, their treatment.
Your peace of mind.
Yeah.
But here's the thing that I was going to finish that thought with, is that if they manage money as badly as they do, even though they love money, okay, they say they love the people of this country. And that may be true. Two things can be true at once. But they also cannot make healthcare better. They will make it invariably worse. And these are not the kind of people you would trust with your life. And that's precisely what this NHI bill is going to give them. It's going to give them control of your life and death. And that is truly terrifying. Truly terrifying. I know that for many people, it's just a cynical grab at whatever money is left in the health insurance business. But honestly, this is the most stupid thing. And I know there have been a lot of people in the private sector who've been trying to shepherd government in the right direction. Mm-hmm. To no avail. Clearly, they weren't listening. They have an ideology, just like a shooter has an ideology, a mass shooter. And they believe that they're doing the right thing. And they think that what they're doing is good for everybody. And they tell themselves that, and maybe in their heart, they really feel that they're doing something good for everybody.
Surely they've had personal experiences or family members who've had to go through this system.
There's a cognitive dissonance. There's a split in the heads of people who are in charge of a country like this, because they say what's good for me is separate from what's good for you. You must do as I say, not as I do.
You tried with your family
first?
That's why
they don't send their kids to public schools. Mm-hmm. That's why they don't go to public hospitals when they're sick. That's why they don't rely on public transport to get to and fro. They all have blue light brigades, private schools, private education, private medical facilities.
When you hear of a minister dying, they've died in a private hospital.
Mm-hmm. Of course. So it's just a cognitive dissonance and basically a hypocrisy.
So do you think there is a party that's able to do the right thing at the moment?
No. I think that if the ANC is allowed to push through the NHI, and they'll probably get it right if they can corral the EFF round, because the EFF feels the same way about this, that basically the state should be in charge of things. I mean, the EFF is so full of hypocrisy and cognitive dissonance that they almost beg a belief, because they really do think at the same time that the state is the best structure for dispensing social justice and for keeping people happy and for doing the right things and for making sure that there's egalitarianism, that people are equal. But they also believe that state capture happened and that Jacob Zuma was a direct product of state capture and that state capture is bad. So they're both saying we like the state enough that it could be captured, but as long as it's captured by us, that's fine. So, you know, there's even less mature thought going on in the EFF. But if they get it through together, then it's through. And then it will all fall to pieces very, very quickly. No, in which case, only, again, this, who does it hurt the most?
Us, you and me.
No, the poor. always the poor. The poor are already living in hell.
In that case, it's me.
Oh, exactly.
But the poor are already in hell because they don't have medical insurance, yeah. Right? And they can go to state hospitals, but who wants to?
Mm. No one.
And what happens to poor people when they go to state hospitals?
They don't come back.
That's right. So it's already happening for them, and now the government want to make us all equally miserable and equally dead. So it's just a terrible idea, and I've been looking at a lot of the stuff that's been written about this recently. There isn't even that much smart thinking that's going into it. I quote Richard Spur because he's one of the people who's actually looked through the bill. The rest are just talking ideologically. Like it's, whatever happens here, it's just really an ideological thing. It's not. This is life and death. And I do think that to trust this government with your life is the most dangerous gamble you could ever make. Enough about that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there we go. Just some things you have to think about this morning.
It's incredibly scary.
Very serious way to start the morning. I mean, usually by now we would have done a few fart jokes, but cover what you got to cover. All right. Hong Kong. Have you seen what's going on there?
Man, that's crazy.
Yikes.
All right. So let's go through the news. First thing is from Hong Kong. Their airport reopened on Tuesday, but the administrator warned that flight movements would still be affected after China said protests that have swept the city over the past 2 months have begun to show the sprouts of terrorism.
Sure.
You know, the Chinese, I'm definitely on the side of these Hong Kong protesters in this. Not that you care what my position is, but it seems to me that China is now starting to tighten the noose. When they start talking about terrorism, that means that they want to label these Hong Kong protesters, who are really protesters who just say that the extradition of a person from Hong Kong into mainland China, if they've committed a crime, particularly against the state, they don't like that. And China's saying, we don't care if you don't like that. We're your big boss. And now we're going to show you who's in charge. So this is why China's suddenly clamping down. That's in any case, a very puerile distillation of what the problem is.
I have a friend who works for one of the big four auditing companies.
Yeah.
And I was FaceTiming with her last night and we were just chatting. And you know when you can tell someone isn't really paying attention to you? She's like, yeah.
She's probably looking at the protest out of her window.
I started having to, she's here in South Africa. And started having to ask, like, what is exactly going on? She flipped over the phone. She had her TV on. She had two computer screens because she had to monitor all the protests for her clients. I was like, oh my gosh, wow. I don't want to be you right now. Yeah, because the clients are investing in different parts of the world and she has to go and report back.
Like here we are in 2019 and we are steadily moving in the right direction for humans, right? Mm. I mean, like humans are better off now than they've ever been. That's indisputable. But it's amazing, like a place that you would have thought was a safe bet, Hong Kong. And I've got a friend who moved there, 4 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And she loves it there. And now in Hong Kong, the airport's shut down and, you know, the people can't trade the way that they might have a week ago. And suddenly people are being arrested and there's lots of violence going on.
There's mayhem, yeah.
Yeah, and this is in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
So, again, anything's possible where humans are involved. So, the airport is one of the world's busiest. It's blamed demonstrators for halting flights on Monday. The exact trigger for the closure was not clear because protesters occupying the arrivals hall since Friday have been peaceful. But the airport was the latest focus of protests that began 2 months ago. And the sometimes violent protests began as opposition to a now suspended bill that would have allowed extradition to mainland China, but would have grown into wider calls for democracy. Hmm. So that's what's going on in China. And then, Hong Kong, if you still consider that part of China. Arrests and deportations of foreign teachers in China have soared this year. Now, there are a lot of...
On the flip side.
A lot of South Africans who've gone to teach in China, right? So apparently, lawyers, schools and teachers say amid a broad crackdown defined by new police tactics in Beijing's push for a cleaner, more patriotic education system. Four law firms...
Patriotic.
I know, that worry. Doesn't that worry you?
Yeah.
Four law firms have told Reuters that requests for representation involving foreign teachers had surged in the past 6 months, between four and tenfold, while teachers and schools confirmed arrests and temporary detentions for minor crimes. Switzerland-based Education First, which runs 300 schools across 50 Chinese cities, has seen a significant increase in detentions in China for alleged offenses, including drugs, fighting, and cybersecurity violations. You see, if they want to get you out of China, they'll find a reason. they'll either say you've been accessing Facebook or mm-hmm. porn or whatever, and then they'll find a reason to throw you out. Maybe you, you know, walked through a park at like 11 o'clock and you were only meant to be in the park from 11:01. They'll find a reason. This is what authoritarian regimes do. And I know lots of South Africans who are teaching there. So that's clearly not an open door anymore. There are lots of people from South Africa who can't find work here, so they go over to China to teach, and they can teach English because you don't really need to have much of a qualification to do that.
Yeah, it's the way the world gets smaller, but all the more complicated.
Hey, something good. Mm-hmm. The ANC has finally done something right. Let's all just stop and take a big deep breath and just luxuriate in their excellence in making one good decision in 2019.
I won't believe it until I hear it.
What have they done now, Gary?
Well, Zandile Gumede, who's the under fire mayor of the eThekwini municipality, has been fired by her party, bringing to an end a protracted 3-month battle that has created divisions in the party in KwaZulu-Natal. According to ANC sources who attended the provincial executive meeting, Gumede was supported by several regional supporters who were also backed by other senior political and provincial executive committee members. However, she was eventually fired. Mm. This never happens. Gumede did not go alone, as the party decided to also fire the Speaker of the Council, William Mapena, and the Chief Whip, Neil Nyanisa. Temba Njilo is the mayor of the besieged Msunduzi, which is the Pietermaritzburg municipality, capital of KZN. He was also fired, so they really decided to go after all these people. Also fired in Msunduzi was the controversial deputy mayor Tobani Zuma. Gumede told independent media this week she would wait for the party's decision before deciding herself whether to take it to court. So she's not going to go away, but they fired her.
Well, Zandile was also still supported by great masses of people at her church. Did anyone see those pictures and videos a couple of days ago? There was a church that held an all-night vigil. What do you believe in to spend an entire night
praying for Zandile Gumede?
And it's another human being. Like, you know, maybe if you are all for Jesus and you want to spend the whole night praying, good for you. Another human being going, you know what?
A human being who's done nothing but profit off of stealing state money.
Full-on all-night vigil for her, people singing and praying and singing and praying for her and her job.
Yeah, it's just...
I couldn't get
it. It boggles my mind. It really does.
I couldn't.
Here's this woman, and she's clearly crooked, and she's stolen, I don't know, millions and millions of rands in tender money and appropriated funds in all the wrong places, and she's just a bad actor.
She's a badass.
And she goes to church. Mm-hmm. Church, because of course that's where you cleanse your sins, right? This is where I feel like religion does so much more damage than good. Because people go to a church and they supposedly cleanse their soul, and then they come out and they walk out of those doors a new person, reborn. But she's still a bad person, and she's still got that money that she stole. And yet there are even worse off people than her. People who have absolutely nothing, who will back her. And I don't know where this comes from. It's a very particular South African thing. And it's a black South African thing. And I don't understand it. It's like, why some black South Africans support leaders who are doing everything. Everyone can see those leaders are doing everything to harm their constituents.
Even Stevie Wonder can see that.
Even Stevie Wonder. And yet they'll support them and support them and support. It almost feels like they're claiming virtue on behalf of a person who has no virtue, and then it supposedly makes them feel good. It's very weird. I suppose when you're in such a dire, dreadful, broken down situation, maybe that's what it is. And many of these people who are supporting Zandile Gumede are maybe just hoping she'll give them something. Maybe that's what they want. Look, they'll just if you give them a free T-shirt, they'll back you, and they'll go to a night vigil and they'll pray for you.
But meanwhile, if you think about it, she was ultimately stealing from them.
Right. Yeah. This is my point.
It's like all these pastors, they steal money from the congregation.
Same thing.
They come in there in their droves.
Right.
To deliver the money.
And then they'll eat the grass, drink the petrol.
Eat the snakes.
Inhale the doom.
Calling it Satan.
Isn't it weird? Like, it just really is. And I know that this is not just weird to us as South Africans. It's weird to the world. Because when, I think, Trevor Noah played a video of this on The Daily Show, and people are like, Jesus, that's next level crazy.
It is. See, you know? Why do black people do this kind of stuff?
I don't know. You can't answer in behalf of blacks. Don't
no,
even
no,
try.
No, see, as black, you should be able
don't
to
even,
answer this.
Don't, no, neither. No.
I'm not going down
I can't
this
answer in behalf of whites, okay?
I'm not.
It's peculiar. It's very peculiar.
Very peculiar.
As many as 10 police officers accused of wrongdoing during last week's raid on counterfeit goods in the Joburg CBD, I know something that Google feels strongly about, were on Monday sent back to jail. These are the police officers who are accused of wrongdoing. They were sent back to jail.
Good.
By a magistrate, Lucas van der Scaife, who presided over the matter. They were arrested last week for allegedly soliciting bribes, tipping off illegal vendors of imminent raids, and trying to sell confiscated goods.
There you go. Soliciting bribes
right?
From who?
From these illegal immigrants.
Exactly.
So the accused, and I'm not even going to go through their names. Maybe you want to hear their names?
Just name and shame, Gareth. Okay. Go for it.
If you know any of these people, let me know. Marubini Aubrey Rabepele.
Someone's uncle.
Tulani Philemon Bopela. Petros Mosiwa, Samuel Motaung, Timothy Pete Mohlala, Zandile Rachel Nebe, Makangeni...
Zandile in the news again?
Makangeni Kenneth Makubele, Joseph Moretebe Tsotsetsi, and Mutate Elvis Molai, and then finally Samuel Sekopana. Those are the guys. Those are the crooked cops who've probably been glad-handed by desperate vendors. They've been, extorting money. These are the scum of the earth.
Scum of the earth. I'm so disappointed, though, because it's only black names in that list, Gareth.
How? Sorry. You can't assume.
But now you're reading too much into my former story, so stop.
Yeah.
You can't assume there's Elvis there.
Yeah, there could be an Elvis.
I heard Petros in there.
Petros.
You know, on a bit of a tangent, I'll never forget once we were at my grandmother's house.
Petros.
And we were oddly just all together in the lounge watching TV casually. And my mother turns around, she looks at my grandmother and says, "Thank you." And I'm like, what's going on? Thank you for what? She says, "Thank you so much for never giving us these embarrassing names."
Petros, yeah.
There's Petros, Elvis.
Abednego. Gideon.
Gideon's fine.
Gideon is also
okay. Is it dodgy?
Because it's Gideon, but then right, you know, amongst
Gideon.
All right. Here's the last story in the news this morning. A fire broke out at the Hayston Bosch residence in Stellenbosch University on Monday night.
It's crazy. Students being evacuated.
So as far as they can establish, all the students had been evacuated from the building. University's priority is to ensure the safety of the students, accommodation for the evening, necessary counselling and support services are in place. Hayston Bosch residents are currently gathering at Vilchenhof, and all arrangements will be communicated to them from there.
Yeah, that must suck.
Yeah. So imagine being evacuated early in the morning or late at night. Not good.
Just imagine losing your stuff like that.
Yeah. All right, you want a few comments before we move on?
Mm-hmm.
Let's do some. Do you think South Africans all have to go through the hundreds of years of war and bloodshed to realize the individual is paramount? What will it take to break the patriarchy, the patriage? Oh, I don't know what that word is. I'm trying to figure this out, Graham, but maybe you can just send me that again. Feudal backstabbing and primitive monarchical and tribal politics like Europe 1,000 years ago. What will it take? I have little hope. Well, it's not 1,000 years ago in Europe. It was actually only a couple of hundred years ago. And there are parts of Europe where it's still very tribal and monarchical. And there are parts of the rest of the world where it still is like that. And when you see the rise of people like authoritarians in Brazil and Hungary and Poland, it's present for Europeans. So this is not there's this brilliant book that I would encourage everyone to read because it shatters racism. What it does is it looks at the geographical advantages of particularly Europeans in the last 1,000 years, the fact that they could domesticate animals in those parts of the world. And you can't domesticate the animals that you find in North America or in Africa. You just can't.
Mm.
You can't domesticate a goddamned lion, you know? And those are huge factors. But what Jared Diamond's book, Guns, Germs, and Steel, will tell you is that those are primarily the ways that Europeans exported their culture, guns, germs, and steel. And that it's not because they're racially or in any physically, biological, any other scientific means, measurable means, in any way superior or inferior to anyone else. It's an interesting book, just from the point of view of anyone who's got this hankering to believe that certain races are better and other races are not, it shatters that fairly comprehensively. It should be required reading for everybody. Hmm. Jared Diamond.
What is it? Guns, germs?
Guns, germs, and steel. It's just interesting. So I would be, I'd be careful, Graham, about that. Patronage is certainly a problem in South Africa. And then he's corrected himself. He meant patronage. The feudal stuff, the backstabbing, the primitive monarchical and tribal politics, those are human conditions. It's not a South African condition. But there's this weird virtue in the mix between the church, which is a Western import, obviously, and this tribal headman thing, mm-hmm. that is just very pathological. I don't know how to define it any better than that. And then doctors and nurses are working our hardest to work up to 40 hours on end, but you cannot build a house without bricks or cement. It is so frustrating. So this is about the NHI. This is from LZ. LZ says, we're currently dealing with multiple ARV drug shortages, among many others. I can't roll my eyes enough when I hear the NHI. US public service doctors have medical aid because we know that it takes a day to get an emergency CT and up to a month for an emergency MRI.
Yeah, that's right.
Instead of fixing our shitty healthcare system, they just want to force everybody to use it. I'm unable to think about this. So someone says, oh, by the way, a correction to me. Psychosis doesn't mean that you want to harm. It just means that you have no grasp on reality. Sorry, what I meant was, there's another word that I'm trying to think of. Psychotic. I can't remember. I'm not a medical doctor and I'm not a psychologist.
Psychopathic.
Could be something like that.
Sociopathic.
Yes.
So an emergency something could take a full day.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, you can stand in a queue for the whole day and be turned away at the last second with the doors closing.
Sifred says, please put that dunce hat back on Gugu for the day.
What did he say this morning?
I'm not sure.
I don't know, Sifred.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
All right. And this is an interesting message from Lubert. He says, good morning, guys. Just need to brag a little. Most of the times, the working days and times in the construction industry are terrible. But sometimes there are perks. Because most of the workforce live far away, our Easter weekend is an extra long one. So this meant a short week for us. We're off. Oh, this is an old message, but then he sent this today. Morning, guys. Sorry I'm a bit late, but currently listening to the podcast from yesterday. The Jack Black movie is called Year One. Have a good one. From Loopy.
Oh, all right. I thought we had concluded that.
Because you see these come in as like WhatsApps, and then
yeah.
I didn't read that this one was from, God, April.
What's his name? Right.
Yeah. Lubert. I get that. Lubert. Lubert.
That is so fabulous.
Do you like that name?
I want to monogram that. I want that on my towels, on my stationery.
Do you like that?
On a letterhead. Certain names. Don't you just want to buy the Lubert candle?
Candle?
Yes. The Lubert towel collection. The Lubert 900 thread count sheets. Not the Sia. The Sia.
I don't know. I think Sia's a little easier. It rolls off the tongue a bit better. All right. you want some good news?
Yes, please.
Yes.
They finally found a way to stop Ebola.
Wow.
Yes.
In its tracks, or is this?
Yeah, they've found vaccine. They found a way to stop the infections, and they are pretty much sure it's 100% foolproof, and they're going ahead with the treatments now.
How?
So, amid unrelenting chaos and violence, scientists and doctors in the DRC have been running a clinical trial of new drugs to combat a year-long Ebola outbreak. On Monday, the trial's co-sponsors at the World Health Organization and the National Institutes of Health announced that two of the experimental treatments appear to dramatically boost survival rates. While an experimental vaccine previously had been shown to shield people, the news marks a first for people who have already been infected.
Okay. Yeah, because it's almost two completely different schools of study that you've got to go through with that. There's the prevention, and then there's the treatment. And it looks like they're trying to make strides in both.
That's correct. So a guy called Jean-Jacques Muyembe, who is the director of the Institut National de Recherche Biomédicale in the DRC, has overseen the trial's operations on the ground and says, we will no longer be able to say that Ebola is incurable. Cool.
Sorry, I'm only smiling because that's another name that sounds cool.
Yeah.
Jean-Jacques Muyembe.
And just before you say anything terrible, Gugu, he's a black man, all right?
Who's
leading this charge. So.
Good man.
Yeah. Oh, now you think he's good because you heard he's black?
Oh, no, he's a good man nonetheless.
No, because Gugu was going down a race rabbit hole. Mm.
No. Look, this is why I was going, you didn't give me a chance to actually finish that thought, Gareth.
Go on. Sure, the floor is yours.
There's a video I saw the other day. Bonnie and Clyde sort of situation.
Yeah.
A black dude, white woman walk into a depot, and she looks fine as hell. And they hold these guys at gunpoint and
I like the way her looks matter. But
yeah,
what
happened if she was ugly?
Yeah, of course. She wouldn't have lasted as long. So what happened?
They walked in there and she looks like she knows how to use a gun. And I could just see by the way she was handling it.
Mm-hmm.
Hold everyone at ransom.
Is this in a bank?
It's a depot. It's a truck depot. Oh, local, okay. South African.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is a real thing?
Yeah, this is a real thing.
As you were.
And tied everyone up, took the cell phones, took everything, and disappeared. But it was like a Bonnie and Clyde, you know, type of situation.
How nice, though, that it was a black man and a white woman.
Yeah, yeah.
And finally, we have the races working together.
That's
to
where
rob,
I was going with
to
this.
Rob
the driver
a
was this yeah. Indian, the and the packer dream. Was colored.
Right?
That's a real
working in tandem.
One thing we're good at in this country is crime. It doesn't matter whether you're black or white. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-ding. Ding-a-ding-a-ding-ding.
That's
oh,
it.
Man.
Holding hands and loving each other right, and shooting up the place. Where's Vicky Sampson to sing My African Dream?
Oh, I do love it. All right, so that's very
so
nice.
Bizarre.
Yeah. Imagine nuts. Vicky Sampson at the truck depot as they've robbed it, going, and in my African dream.
You know, she still just coins money based on that.
Oh, man.
She doesn't have to release any new music.
Hey, speaking of race, apparently, and this is a story Leanne has some more info on, but private investigator Mike Bolace, who had a TV show on CakeNet, his TV show has been canned over some alleged racist voice note.
Yes.
What happened there?
So what do we know about?
So what did she say?
There is a CakeNet show.
It's a he.
Mike Bolace.
He's a renowned private investigator.
Yeah.
They made a show about Bolace.
Let me show you who he is.
He looks like...
He has a
how
nice
you expect
box
him
cut.
To look.
Yeah, he has Bolace.
Oh, Meneer Bolace.
Brush cut.
I mean, did we really expect that this guy was going to be politically astute? Did we really think? And by the way, does everyone in the world have to be PC all the time? I mean, we somehow make excuses for like King Goodwill Zwelithini when he's xenophobic. Why don't we make excuses for a guy called Mike Bolace when he's racist?
What did he say? I'm not going to comment up until I've heard what he said.
He used the N-word.
That's not even...
And then
that's not even South African.
And
why,
then I
why
didn't know that this
N-word?
Was a problem, and I'm going to say it. Houtkoop.
Oh,
you know, in
okay,
context...
That's pretty racist. I'm
what does Houtkoop mean?
It's actually a term that was used quite a while back. It's not very prevalent right
by
now.
By racists in the old regime, they would call black people Houtkooper.
Yeah.
Meaning what?
Means your head is made of wood.
In other words, it's like referring to unintelligence, I suppose. But it had nothing to do with his show. Okay, his show started. It had its first episode. And just before the second episode aired, something came up that was unrelated to the show. And it was a WhatsApp voice note that he had sent to a client. Him being a PI, this client was actually a student, funnily enough, a Potchefstroom-based student
who had allegedly been
blackmailed by someone who reportedly used pictures of a sexual nature that he claimed was not of him. And he sent a WhatsApp voice note explaining the situation to Bolace. Bolace then reportedly responds by saying in Afrikaans, firstly, it's not a she, it's an N-word. It's a pitch black H-word. So... you know, the CakeNet immediately canned the show when it became aware
I'll
of
tell
this
you
voice
what,
note.
The one way you get immediate accountability is against racists. Like, racists never manage to hold on to their job. Have you noticed that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Straight away. Like, politicians can steal millions. CEOs like Marcus Uster can mislead the public about huge larceny, you know, grand theft. But if you say the N-word, the K-word, the H-word, which frankly I hadn't heard
for a long time,
then suddenly you just get instant reaction. Like Mnet, terrified, just immediately dropped this person. Penny Sparrow, out of work, fined, hauled in front of the Human Rights Commission. If the wheels of justice moved as fast for everything else, like they do for racism, man, we'd have a great country.
Dude, you've been there as well?
Well,
with
I mean,
the whole racist.
I was up on that tweet that I made about Penny Sparrow and free speech, and they tried to fire me as well. I had to take them to court.
Jeez.
So I don't know that this is indicative of progress. It certainly is a great template for all other criminal activity.
But what do you mean by that?
Well, I think that if we can put away racists so we can get them fired from their jobs, then we should be able to do this with corruption and theft and murder.
And rape.
And rape.
And robbery.
And all of the things that really ail our society.
Mm.
Don't you think?
Yeah. We've just become used to these other processes involving other crimes taking so long.
But it shows you that, like, society doesn't like racists, and that's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we should aspire to be, a society that hates racists. But we can also force institutions to be accountable and individuals to be accountable if they are racist. Because society doesn't tolerate it, these people get fired immediately, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there are processes they can go through if they feel they've been treated badly, like Nick Mallett was on Supersport and that kind of thing. But if we can, as a society, get people to stop doing antisocial things like being racist, and remember, it isn't a crime to be racist, it's just antisocial, makes you a douchebag. But it isn't criminal. Like, no one can lock you away just for not liking people of a different race. It's an awful thing that there are people that still go around with that kind of prejudice in their hearts, but it's not a crime. However, there are actual criminals getting away with this kind of behavior, and worse, every other day. And it seems to me that if we can get it right with racists, we should be able to get it right with actual criminals. Huh?
Definitely. 100%, Boots.
Yeah. Look, I didn't even know who Mike Bullace was before all of this.
I must be honest, I didn't know much about him.
Don't you remember he was involved in those occult investigations?
Not really, eh?
The who?
The devil? Satanism?
He feels and looks like he's just come out of the 80s for me.
That haircut is just something
else. Still in the 80s.
Stuck in a time warp
his racism comes from the 80s.
Exactly.
As well.
Yeah.
The haircut, the look, how you wear this coral green shirt with this Smarties red tie. Oh, Bullace.
He's got a soft spot for flamingos, I'll tell you that much.
He
has a flamingo project.
He was involved in the rehabilitation of 2,134 distressed juvenile flamingos.
Juvenile.
That had been released at Comfort's Dam near Kimberley in the Northern Cape.
So you can be a racist, but still love animals.
And flamingos specifically.
The dainty, cute flamingos. I'm on his website right now. You know, his Christian principles guide his life and business choices.
Mm-hmm.
His organization has come to be known as an end-of-the-line organization. I know what that means, Paul.
He's one of those guys who don't take bullshit, but yeah, he is definitely stuck in a different time warp.
And then also, I'm just surprised that private investigators still have thriving careers.
Yeah, there are people who hire guys like this to check on their spouses. No, it's a big thing. It's an exciting world in South Africa where you can hire a private investigator called Bullace.
Yes.
He's on top of it.
But if I do want Bullace. A PI, I do, you know, Bullace sounds like the guy to call.
Sounds like a good one.
Mm. Mm.
All right. Let's get into it. We've got a couple other things to talk about this morning. We've got a guest popping in later on I think you'll be interested in hearing from. And we'll take your thoughts, your ideas, your comments, your messages. You know what to do. 079-748-2090. Someone sent me a picture of Pedos of the Caribbean, the Epstein Island, with a picture of, you know, Bill and Hillary, Epstein with a patch over his eye. Believe the guard who was guarding Jeffrey Epstein was killed in a motorbike accident tomorrow. So let's just watch this and see what happens. You know, crooked Hillary. obviously is front and center when it comes to trying to understand what happened in this Epstein situation. Very exciting. And then I saw Bernie Sanders. Maybe we should just save this for later.
Okay.
Bernie Sanders was on Joe Rogan's podcast. Do you know about that?
No.
Okay, well, I'll tell you about it in a moment. Stick around for that. It's coming right up. We've got loads of interesting things happening on cliffcentral.com today. Make sure that you stick around for all of that and more. Leanne has got news stories, don't you, Leanne?
I do.
Isn't that the most exciting thing of all?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Gugu's going to take your calls. If you want to get hold of us on Skype, you can do that too on Cliff Central, one word.
This is cliffcentral.com.